This is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook. Today, we are talking with Sherry Davis. She's with Travel Nevada, and she's going to tell us all about a number of grants that went out to our rural communities, specifically places like the Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe and little areas like Jackpot, Nevada, to promote tourism in those areas, because a lot of people don't even know they exist. There's a lot of fun going on in some of those locations. Big grant money going out to the rurals, right?
Yes, $760,000.
That's a big chunk of cash to be able to promote and encourage tourism in our rural areas of our great state, right?
It really is. And so many of these communities lack those funds. So this really helps double at least what they can do. It is a matching program, so they can come up with half in either cash or also in-kind volunteer time. So it really, it multiplies whatever efforts they have. It just helps them get so much further out there than they would have on their own. It's a fantastic program.
All right, Sherry Davis with Travel Nevada. We're going to spend some time talking about these projects because I love what some of these are aiming to do is get people to places in Nevada where they may not think about going, right? Because we have a big state. There's a lot going on here. For the ecotourism and outdoor recreation opportunities there, talk about that. What's going on in Jackpot that I need to know about?
Well, there's so much going on in Jackpot, and it's such a small community, and they do have casinos, and they have things like that, but I don't think anyone quite realizes how many other things they have around it. It's beautiful country up there. It's absolutely gorgeous, and there's so many, there's lakes, there's all sorts of places to explore, and no one knows, so this is a great way to get that information out there. So they currently have a website, but it's really not focused on tourism, so this one really will aim to get more people there and to let people know what is happening up there. You know, I've been to every single town in Nevada except for Denio, so that's the last one on my list.
And I haven't been hardly anywhere, okay? And I haven't been to Vegas since I was 15, but guess where I've been? I've been to Denio. I went up there for the opal hunting at the Peacock Opal Mines. And what a fun trip. You don't even realize that we have this kind of ecosystem up there where it's still desert, but there's all this swampland everywhere where there's just these water sources out of nowhere. It's very bizarre.
And you know, Nevada's like that. I always tell everybody, like when you're going through central Nevada, Nevada's sneaky. You look around and it looks like it's just desert. But then as soon as you get up into those canyons, there's water, there's elk, there's trees, there's all sorts of amazing wildlife. Like, it is an incredible state. It's just some of it's hidden, which I think is fantastic.
Let's talk about some of the other grant money that's going out. The Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe's going to get $5,000 to continue a West Coast print ad campaign.
It is really exciting, and it's such a beautiful lake, and there's so much, besides the fact that there's fishing, there's so much history and so much culture. It's just such a beautiful area, so that part is really exciting. That's another one that I was really just thrilled with. There were so many good projects this time. It was hard to sort through them, and you know, because inevitably some get denied, but it was just such a great group of applications with so much potential to really make a big difference out there.
I think it's interesting that when people come to Reno, and oftentimes as well Lake Tahoe, they don't know that the Truckee River lands into a terminal lake, i.e. Pyramid Lake. And so getting that promotability out there about this lake and that it even exists is really huge for Spanish Springs and Sparks and that whole section of the Truckee Meadows, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think another good thing about this project through the tribe is that now they're in control of what they are promoting and what they are asking people to come and see. So I also think that's incredibly valuable that they're the ones that are taking the reins on this and really choosing what they want and where they want to invite people to come.
And we've got a couple other projects. Let's talk about another one kind of close to home, the Carson City Culture and Tourism Authority. They received $20,000 out of this $760,000 to pay for a video production that's going to support the organization's marketing campaign. Can you elaborate a little bit and tell me what they're going to use that money for?
So what I really love about this one is last grant season or last grant cycle, they had applied for a grant to do some research, to really look at, to bring a company in, to bring a contractor in, to figure out what visitors were looking for, what they still needed, what they were missing. And this grant actually came out of that grant. So I just think that that's a wonderful way to use, because data is so important too, right? So that we can understand where we need to place these funds, because even though it seems like a ton of money, this $760,000, it's gone in a flash. It really is. It's a lot, but at the same time, it's not. You know, we could do triple this and people would have these amazing projects. So what they're doing is they're really taking that data and making sure that they get footage of all the things that they specifically need to based on the data that they received from this other grant. So they're connected, which I think is fantastic.
Carson City is really exploding when it comes to fun things to do and also the draw of people moving to Northern Nevada. They love the nice hometown feel there. The fact that the town is very small and isn't going to expand any larger. There's fun stuff to do and people just don't know it even exists in Carson, right?
And I think I think we're getting there. I think more and more people are understanding how much there is to do in Carson City. If you take a look at the Visit Carson City website, so shameless plug for that, they really have done a fantastic job putting all of that together. And they send out, if anybody wants to sign up for it, they send out a newsletter that talks about all the, like, I just got a newsletter in my email just the other day talking about all the programs that they have coming up for Christmas. And some of them, I live here. I've only lived here 3 years, but I live here and I didn't even know about them. So yeah, they really are doing a fantastic job getting that information out there. But again, you know, there's so many people and it does take time to get it out there, but they're really doing a great job as well. But I definitely recommend going to their website, and there's so much to do in Carson City. There's so much to do everywhere in Nevada. We're really very fortunate.
Sherry Davis with Travel Nevada. We're talking about some grant funding that is going to go to rural projects here. There's so much going on, and these dollars are going to really expand that out to people that are coming here in droves nowadays to get away, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Especially with COVID and all of the stuff that's been going on, people really are excited to travel in places that you know, do things that they haven't done before, do lots of outside things, do lots of new. It's just amazing all of the the things that have changed throughout all of this pandemic. And part of it is people just really, really, really wanting to explore their own backyards, I think, more than ever before. And a lot of Nevada, they really have taken advantage of that. And Travel Nevada, too, we have that Discover Your Nevada marketing campaign that we've been working on that is really the same thing. So where you're saying, hey, look at all of these wonderful things to do in our state. Here they are. And so it's nice because a lot of these programs that people have applied for through the grant program really complement that. So it's worked out really well, I think, for Travel Nevada and for all of these rural communities. We really do work together well and on a regular basis. So, and there's some amazing, hardworking people out there in rural Nevada who really are just, some of them, it's a one-person show in the middle of nowhere, you know, and they just make it happen. And they're just incredible, incredible people all through the state.
And then lastly, this is an interesting little side bit here. $20,000 went to the Pony Express Territory, a regional marketing group promoting communities along the 50 corridor.
Yes, and so what they're doing is they're just, because we do have such a drive market coming over from California, Pony Express Territory is taking advantage of that. So they've got these fantastic, this artwork that they're putting on these billboards, and it will just rotate to each community. So all the way from Ely, all the way across 50 and into Carson City. So there's some great communities. If you have not done that road trip, you need to. There's so many good things to do. There's a burger at Middlegate. There's the Shoe Tree. There's all of these, you know, all the churches in Austin that you can kind of look at. There's just all sorts of things along Highway 50. So, and that's what they're promoting. And really, it is, when you look at California, and it's very crowded in many places, especially in the Sacramento area. And then you come across 50, and it's just not. And it's a great escape, I think, for people who do live in a city to really get out there and experience nature and experience this really, it seems desolate, but it's not. But just this big, wide open expanse of space. And it's just, it's a beautiful drive. Beautiful drive. Highly recommend.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
The news and talk of Nevada. This is Nevada Outlook on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook. Today we're talking with Dr. Jeff Schlatto with the UC Davis Tahoe Environmental Research Center in Incline Village about all the research and progress they've made out there this year.
Basically, the last 12 months, there's been a lot of breakthroughs. Let's first talk about how you guys started working on the health of the lake by putting in that collection system that we talked about earlier in the year. How did that go? And what kind of research did you find from the particles in the air? And what's that actual research called? Is there a name? You guys label all your stuff. What do you guys call that?
I think we'd probably call that atmospheric deposition. What changed this year was for the previous 20 years, we've been capturing atmospheric deposition, but just measuring the nutrients that come in from the air. And something like, the majority of the nitrogen that enters the lake comes from the air, comes primarily from the tailpipes of the cars we drive. But what we started in July was a new system of collectors that would allow us to measure the particles that come in. And the particles may come in from dust and whatever's in the atmosphere. And it was very fortuitous that we started it then, because that was before we had much smoke, before there were major fires in the area. And so we have a couple of measurements before the smoke. And then, as we all know, for the next 4 to 5 months, Tahoe is engulfed in smoke. So we've been collecting the particles that fall out from the air. And right now we're analyzing them, finding out what they're how big they are, how many of them there are, and how that varied with the intensity of smoke in the air. Well, we're finding that there was more coming in, obviously, but we're still at a point where we're trying to put it all together. I mean, to just, we can't really say now what was affecting clarity. Was it more particles? Was it the fact that more nutrients were coming in? Was it the fact that there was less sunlight? When you have smoke in the air, the sun is blotted out, and so you can't see a white disc down in the water as far. So is it just the lack of light, or is it these particles or the algae that the nutrients grow? So that's our goal, and we're hoping in the next 2 months we're going to have a report finalized on that.
Dr. Jeff Schlatto with UC Davis Tahoe Environmental Research Center. Did you guys see any smoke effects with the Dixie? I know we did here in Reno. I'm guessing you guys were affected by that prior to the Calder, right?
Yeah. So, there were, I think a few days were pretty bad from Dixie. And even, I guess, around the same time, there was some stuff with the Tamarack fire. But, the really heavy stuff, when the air quality index was 400, 500, 600 out on the lake. That was primarily Caldor. And just sort of for a reference, an air quality index of 150 is when they say you shouldn't be outside exerting yourself. It's harmful. So we were out there measuring in harmful conditions, wearing masks, and not forcing anybody to be out there. But this was something we felt was important, and all our team wanted to be there collecting the data and hoping they'd never have to do it again.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed on that. Another thing you guys worked on this last year was the mysis shrimp. Let's talk about that a little bit. I'll let you have the floor on that.
Right. So just as background to that, back starting in about 2011, we were monitoring Emerald Bay and noticed over a 5 or 6 year period, initially, the mysis shrimp, which is an introduced species to Tahoe, was absent from Emerald Bay. It had been there since the introduction almost 45 years ago. It was absent, and in its place, what took its place was Daphnia, which is a little zooplankton, and it's well researched and well established that when the mysis were introduced to Emerald Bay and to Tahoe and to most other lakes, the first thing that disappeared was this zooplankton, Daphnia. which is emblematic of good water quality conditions. It's considered a great species. So mysis were gone, Daphne were back, and literally at that same time, clarity doubled in Emerald Bay. It went from about 11 or 12 meters to about 22 meters. And that was the condition. It stayed like that for about 2 years. And then slowly the mysis shrimp came back, the Daphne had disappeared, and the clarity went back to what it had been.
What year are we talking about here?
Well, this was between 2011 and 2017.
A high-efficiency net? Tell me about this net and how did it work?
So before that, the idea is with the net is, the mysis just naturally disappeared and then came back. The idea that sprung from all this is, if it was possible to reduce mysis to a low enough value, then maybe we could deliberately improve the clarity, initially in Emerald Bay as a test case, and then a much larger project in Tahoe once all the research had been done. So we basically had a homemade net, you could call it, and we were able to show how you can catch mysis and how many you can catch. So what we have now is not a homemade net. We now have it's a net that's professionally designed. It's much fine. The mesh size is about the same, but the material, the filament, is much finer, which means there's less drag, which means the boat can go faster, which means more mysis shrimp can be caught. So that's what we're testing now, currently, and the hope is next fall we'll be able to actually have a trawler here operating for a month or two to remove or at least greatly reduce the mysis shrimp in Emerald Bay and keep track of everything else that changes when we do that. So, one thing that will change is fish diet. So we're actually collecting the guts of fish that are being caught now, and going to be examining what they're eating, and then after we've removed the mysis, what happens? What does the fish diet change to? Do the fish get larger? We think they will, because Daphnia, the zooplankton, is much higher quality food for the fish.
Let's get on to this other accomplishment that you guys have been working on is the sugar pine seeds. This is a big deal. We need to restore the forest, especially in Christmas Valley and all around South Shore since the Calder Fire, and this is going to be one step towards that, right?
Right. And so basically, you may have seen this, or your listeners may have seen this, that you drive around the Tahoe Basin or anywhere in the Sierra, and you'll see pockets of dead trees. But in amongst them, there are trees that are just fine, of the same species. So somehow those individuals are genetically disposed to withstanding the drier conditions or bark beetle infestation or all these things that are killing the trees. So it's those trees that are being harvested for those seeds, and those seeds are being sprouted and seedlings being produced. So rather than working in the lab to create a super tree, we know there are super trees out there in the environment. Let's harvest them and then use them, because we know conditions are tough out there, and they're only going to get tougher. So we actually had a public giveaway of these trees a couple of months ago, and next summer we'll be doing the same thing again. So it's meant for restoration of these burn areas, but also for people's private properties. If they want to plant trees safely away from their houses in a smart position, then sugar pines are a beautiful tree, and they're native, and these ones should be able to last for hundreds of years.
That's the funny thing in Lake Tahoe. You can't, by the life of you, cut a tree down without going through the TRPA, but gosh darn, plant some trees, right?
Be careful. We don't want to overdo the tree density. I mean, on average, we have 5 or 6 times more trees per acre than used to be here, say, pre-Comstock. So, there are too many trees, but let's have the right trees and let's have them in the right density.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.